This week's episode is sponsored by Babysitter Massacre Family Splatters, the second gore-stained book in the Babysitter Massacre series written by David O'Hanlon and created by Henrik Kuto. Babysitting can be murder. Darren didn't realize what she was getting into when she agreed to watch little Iris for 3 days. When Iris's grandfather, Red, escapes from death row and comes looking for the child, Darren will have to confront her own dark past to find the strength to keep them both alive. Red will cut down every babysitter and child in the city to make sure he gets to his long-lost kin. Blood is thicker than water, and it's everywhere. Get your very own copy of Babysitter Massacre Family Splatters on paperback or ebook at Amazon.com. Don't be afraid. They're just your family.
What's that? You want to be scared? Come with me. You will experience tales of horror, ghosts, and death. It is not recommended for the weak at heart. Listen in the dark. It's more fun that way. This is Weekly Spooky.
Hello, my friends. It's Wednesday, and that means another little bit of spooky to go with your weekly. I am your host and narrator, Henrik Kuto, and we've got a nice little nasty piece of work for you this week. But first, I want to say, if you're enjoying the show, please do subscribe on your favorite podcast app or on YouTube. It really does help us out a lot. And tell a friend. I mean, if you can't share a scare, what can you share? Are they even really your friends at that point? Also, head over to weeklyspooky.com. You can become involved in our Patreon or even send us a tip. We've been getting a lot of generous tips lately, and they are hugely appreciated as we make our way to the big two-part episode 100 that I am currently working on with 10, count them 10, authors. So, anyway, my friends, with that all out of the way, I want to talk a little bit about the weather. Because nothing is worse in life than unpredictability. And the weather, well, trying to predict the weather is kind of like trying to predict the weather. Out here in the Midwest, we've had warm weather, 70-degree weather. But tonight, as I'm recording this, they're calling for snow. How much snow? We don't really know. Maybe it won't be a lot. But who feels safe enough to make that call? Much like a stranger in the night, weather comes, and you just have to react the best you can. And that's what tonight's story's about. It's about facing the weather and facing everything else that happens to be out there. So get comfortable, turn down your lights, and let's listen to the story.
Dead in Breakfast by Morgan Moore.
The screams of a young woman pierced the night as the source of the din exploded from the back door of her home, letting loose another screech in her wake. Her screaming didn't last long, as the cold night air cut off her wind, forcing her to stop to catch her breath. She was enjoying a night to herself, while her mother babysat for her. But the peace she was hoping to get was shattered when a stranger knocked on her door. When she opened it, the man rushed her and chased her into the living room. A bottle to the head led to her escape, and here she was, taking a break to regain her composure. She was freezing, but there was no way she was going back into her house. A neighbor, any neighbor, would have to do. The young woman started to walk towards a distant gate when the man shoved his foot into the small of her back. With no time to react, he flipped her over, sitting knees first on her stomach. Stunned by the blow, she looked up at him. As the ice pick, recently pilfered from her own home, entered and exited her heart, repeatedly. When he finished, the man stood up and slid the ice pick into the pocket of his jacket before walking off into the cold, bitter night. "I think it's stuck, Matt." "Really, I hadn't noticed, Rachel," Matt replied sarcastically. Rachel, Matt, and their friends Danny and Jack had been trying to get in one last camping trip before the weather turned bitter. But a blizzard appeared out of nowhere midweek, so the quartet had packed up and hit the highway. The blizzard in full swing, the group took the recommended detours and ended up in a town called Oldsville. Or, more accurately, on the front lawn of a house they almost hit as they skidded off the road thanks to the ice that surrounded Oldsville. "So now what do we do?" Danny asked as she held her arms against her body for extra warmth. "There's no way we're going to get any help out here tonight," Jack remarked. "Well, we have to do something or else we'll freeze," Matt interjected. Rachel looked around the area. He was right, she thought. They'd freeze to death if they stayed out here. Rachel looked around the neighborhood and noticed that the lights were off in every house except for the one they were stuck in front of. "Hey guys, it looks like the people who live here might still be up. Why don't we try asking them for help?" she suggested to her friends. The other three looked at each other and shrugged. "I'm game, as long as they have heat," Danny said. "And a warm bed to go with it," Jack added, grabbing Danny by the waist and bringing her into a kiss. "Don't get too lovey-dovey. You might get stuck together and not in the fun way," Matt said as he hauled out everybody's bags from the car. The four trudged up to the house and banged on the door all at once. Almost immediately, the door swung open. A middle-aged woman stood between them and the interior. "Yes?" she asked, slightly annoyed. "Hi, we're sorry to bother you, but we slid off the road and, into your yard?" Matt started gesturing to the car. "And anyways, it's stuck now. Is there any way you could let us spend the night?" He finished before giving the woman a warm smile, the others following suit. The woman looked at the group and shrugged a bit. "Well, I guess we'd be a really terrible bed and breakfast if I didn't let you sleep here. Come on in." She ushered them inside. "A bed and breakfast? I guess we lucked out big time. I didn't see a sign out in the yard, though," Rachel remarked as she and her friends stripped off their winter gear. "It's more than likely covered by all the snow," the caretaker explained. She led the group to the kitchen and after a few minutes handed them each a hot cup of tea. The foursome downed their beverages eagerly, which elicited a chuckle from the caretaker. "Are there any other guests staying here?" Danny asked. "Nope. You kids are probably the only ones we'll have until the weather blows over." "Well, how much do we owe you?" Jack asked. "Don't worry about it tonight. We can hash that out in the morning. No point in handling the business side of this now when you may end up staying a lot longer." The group looked at each other sheepishly. "Sounds like a plan then," Matt said, breaking the awkward silence. "I don't know about you guys, but I'm tired. Would you excuse us, ma'am?" "Not at all. The rooms are upstairs for guests. Pick whichever ones you want. My room is down here if you kids need anything," she explained, giving them all a smile. The stranger trudged through the harsh winter conditions. He did not know where he was going. He was only moving because he felt the urge to do so. He would need shelter soon. As if reading his mind, the snow let up some. The lights of the nearby house beckoning him. Rachel walked into the room she and Matt had claimed, buttoning up a pajama shirt as she did so. Matt sat on the bed looking at his phone. "Anything interesting?" Rachel asked. "I was checking the weather. Looks like the snow is definitely not stopping until late tomorrow night. I guess that means we will be staying here for a bit," Rachel said, blowing a strand of hair from her face. "Looks like it," Matt said sternly. The stranger pried open the back door of the dwelling and slipped inside. Finding himself in a kitchen, he sat down at a table and pulled off his coat. He removed an ice pick from his pocket, laid it upon the table, and sighed at the sight of the instrument before him. Danny collapsed onto Jack and smiled before rolling off of him. The two lovers lied next to each other, sweat covering them. "I'm gonna take a shower while there's still some hot water," Danny said, exiting the room. Jack dozed off seconds later, only to come to in pitch blackness. He stumbled to his feet in search of his phone and the light it would provide. The stranger rushed at Jack and pinned him against the wall. Jack's assailant slid a gloved hand over his victim's mouth, tightly. The blows came fast, tearing his flesh savagely, again and again. The stranger let Jack's body collapse to the floor before heading to the bathroom and the sound of running water. Matt and Rachel rushed into the bathroom as Danny's screams rang out repeatedly. Now here they were, face to face with a psychopath. "Run!" Matt screamed as the stranger bolted towards them. The duo rushed down the stairs, nearly falling over one another as the stranger pursued them. Their eyes went to the front door, widening in joy that they would be free of this nightmare. The stranger tackled Matt. Rachel screamed. Matt turned his head to look at her as the stranger slit his throat. The killer stood up and turned to face Rachel. She bolted and dove out the window in the far side of the room and ran pell-mell into the cold night. The frigid air assaulted her lungs and skin. Rachel pressed on, desperately searching for signs of life in any of the neighboring houses. Minutes passed, and she was ready to give up when a light appeared from a distant home. She stumbled forth up the stairs and beat on the door until her knuckles bled. The door opened a crack, and a middle-aged woman peered forth from the slight opening.
Please, please help me!
The woman looked at Rachel, stunned. She gathered her wits and spoke.
What's the matter? Somebody's chasing me! He killed my friends!
The woman ushered Rachel inside and bolted the door shut.
Honey, I'm home!
A voice called out. That's my husband. Let me go tell him what happened to you, the woman said as she left the room, wringing her hands. Rachel listened to the sound of a clock ticking away in the kitchen. The gentle tick-tock droned on and on as Rachel's eyelids grew heavier and heavier. Rachel started awake as footsteps approached. In the doorway stood the stranger, ice pick in hand, his lips split into a gruesome smile. Rachel's blood-curdling scream rung through the neighborhood and across the cold winter's night. Now, if that wasn't a nasty little piece of slasher action, then I don't know what is. Something simple, fun, and gruesome to tease your taste buds. Hopefully, if you're in a part of the United States of America where we are getting some unexpected cold, that maybe just made you feel just a little extra chill. And for that, I won't apologize. I hope you enjoyed that one, my friends. As I said earlier, I am working very, very hard on the two-part 100th episode special for Weekly Spooky. I can't believe we're 20 episodes away from 100, and we are going to make it very special. We're going to have 10, count them, 10 authors involved. And if you want to find out more, you want to get involved, and you want to get bonus podcasts, including our Behind the Spooky series, where I sit down and interview people like our producers, our writers, and our composers that help us make the show possible, please head over to weeklyspooky.com and back our Patreon for as little as $1 a month to get access to all kinds of cool behind-the-scenes material, as well as a direct way to let us know what you want to hear on the show. But of course, you don't have to pay a dime if you want to send us an email. You just send it to weeklyspooky@gmail.com. We love to hear what you want to hear, what stories you want to hear. We want to know, believe you me. Speaking of supporters, I want to say a huge thank you to our Patreon podcast boosters, folks who pay just a little bit extra every single month to get a little shout out on the show. Those are Gino Lyons, Michael aka Charm, Karen Wiemet, Jeff and George Hilton, Craig Cohen, Rob Fields, and Kevin Fry. Thank you guys for helping us keep this show going to 100 and beyond. That's where we're heading, but for now, I'm heading out of here. So for myself, for my producer Dan Wilder, for our composer Ray Mattis, and for all the wonderful authors, stay scared, and I will see you next week and talk at you later.
Thank you for listening. Make sure to find your way back next week. But for now, you are safe. Trust me.